How they stole. Ah, how Jacob remembered. How deeply, how clearly. Everyone realized it who saw him standing sunk in solemn musing, and everyone took care to check his own manifestations in reverence for this many-layered burden of life and history. For the situation of Jacob, the rich man, had become precarious. God himself, El, the highest, had perceived that the blessing was become out of sheer size unwieldy, and given him corresponding instruction in a dream. It came to his notice, in other words, and was only too easy to believe, that his brothers-in-law, Laban's heirs, had a certain disposition towards him, expressed in grumblings repeated by the under-shepherds and servants who heard them from his cousin's people at chance meetings in the courtyard. The fact that they had a ring of truth did not make them less disquieting. This man Jacob, a distant cousin of ours, so he says, came hither before our time, a beggar and a fugitive, with naught but his skin. And our father, in his goodness, sheltered and cherished this good-for-nothing for the sake of the gods. And now, lo, the turn that things have taken before our face and eyes. He had fed himself on our flesh and blood, and taken our father's goods unto himself, and is waxed fat and rich, so that it is a stench in the nostrils of the gods. For it is robbery in their sight, and defraudeth the heirs of Laban. It is time that something be done to re-establish justice in one way or another in the name of the gods of the country, Anu, Eliel, and Marduk, not to forget Bel-Haran, to whom we pray after the custom of our fathers. Whereas our sisters, alas, the wives of this stranger, hold in part with his god and the lord of his tribe, who teacheth him to make magic, that the spring lambs are dropped speckled, and our father's property passeth to him according to a vile contract which they made. But we shall see who is to prove stronger on this ground, and in these plains, when time proveth all. The gods of the country, who have dwelt here for ages, or his god, who has no house but Bethel, and that is naught but a stone on top of a hill. For it might be that something would happen to the man on the side of justice, and that a lion might tear him in pieces in the fields, which would not be a lie, for we are like lions in our wrath. Laban, our father, indeed is too faithful to his contract, and feareth it where it lieth below with the little gods of our house. But one might say to him that it was a lion, and he will be satisfied. Indeed, this robber from the west hath strong sons, two of whom, Simeon and Levi, can roar that it maketh one to quake. But to us too have the gods given bronze in our arms, though we are children of an old man, and we could strike unexpectedly, without notice, at night when he sleepeth, and say it was the lion. The father would believe it easily. Thus Laban's sons talked among themselves, talk not intended for Jacob's ear, but brought to him by the under-shepherds and servants whom he hired. He shook his head over it, full of objective disapproval. For without the blessing of Isaac, he reflected, these youths would have no breath of life in their nostrils. To it was owing all of Laban's prosperity, and they ought to feel shame at plotting thus against him who was in truth the source of their being. But aside from this, he felt disquiet, and from that hour onwards he tried to read Laban's countenance and learn how it stood with the master of the house in the matter. Whether he would be disposed to believe that it was a wild beast who had killed Jacob, if his sons said so. He searched the man's face when he came out upon his ox to see after the breeding, and found that he must search again, rode himself to the steading to discuss the shearing, and studied the heavy face anew. And behold, it was no more towards him as it had been the day before, and the day before that. It did not respond to his searching gaze. The features seemed to sag, and not one time did the man raise his eyes to Jacob, but they were averted and downcast, as he discussed the most necessary matters with his son-in-law, so that after this second reading it was clear and certain to Jacob that not only would the man believe in the ravening beast, but he would thank it in his heart. Then Jacob knew enough, and he heard God's voice in a dream as soon as he fell asleep, and it said, See that thou goest hence, and urged him, pack up all that thou hast, and rather today than tomorrow, and take thy wives and thy children and all that is grown unto thee through me in all this time, and roll away heavily homewards in the direction of the Mount of Gilead, and I will be with thee. The command was in general terms. Consideration and arrangement of the details were the part of man. And in silence, cautiously, Jacob began to set in motion his flight out of the underworld. And first he sent for his wives where he was in the fields, Leah and Rachel, daughters of the house, to consider with them and be assured of their attachment. As for the concubines, it was not a matter of their consenting, for they would obey. "Thus is it," he said to them when all three squatted before his tent together, "and so, and so. Your later brethren seek after my life for the sake of my goods, which are yours and the inheritance of our children. And when I search in your father's face to learn if he would shield me from their evil counsel, I find that he looketh not at me, as he did yesterday and the day before, but rather not at all, letting the one half of his face hang down as though he were stricken, nor will the other half know anything of me. But how is this? For I have served him with all my powers, 3 times 7 and 4 years long. But he hath betrayed me, and made my hire according as he would, and saying it is the harshness of the life of trade. But the God at Bethel, the God of my father, hath not permitted him to do me any harm. Rather hath he turned all things in my favor. And when it was said, The pied yearling shall be thy hire, lo, the rams leaped, and the whole herd bare speckled, so that your father's possessions were turned from him to me. Therefore shall I now die, and it shall be said, A lion hath eaten him. But the Lord at Bethel, to whom I have anointed the stone, he will that I should live and grow old. And therefore he hath commanded me in a dream to take what is mine, and go secretly across the water into the land of my fathers. I have spoken. Speak ye now. It proved that the women were with one voice of the opinion of God. How should they be otherwise? Poor Laban! Probably he would have lost, even if it had been anything like a choice that was set before them, as was hardly the case. They were Jacob's. Their purchase price had been paid in 14 years. Under normal circumstances, their master and purchaser would long ago have taken them from the house of their fathers into the bosom of his own tribe. They had been the mothers of 8 of his children, even before nature at length acted and Jacob made finally fruitful the earliest wooed and rightful bride. Should they let him go, with the sons and with Dinah, Leah's daughter, in order to hang upon their own father? Should he flee alone with the riches which his God had turned aside from their father to him and their children? Or should they betray the plan to their father and brothers, that he might be lost indeed? All impossible, each one more impossible than the rest. And besides, they loved him. Yes, they had vied in love for him since the day of his coming, and no moment had ever been better than this for each to be more devoted than the other. They clung to him on both sides and spoke both at once. I am thine. How the other feeleth, I know not and ask not. But I am thine. Where thou art and whither thou goest, stealest thou away, then steal me with thee, and all that Abraham's God hath given thee. And may Nabu, the guide and the god of thieves, be with us. Thank you, Jacob replied. Thanks to you both equally. The third day from today, Laban cometh out to the shearing of his flock. Thereafter he journeyeth 3 days' journey to shear his speckled sheep with Beor, Aleb, and Muras. And when he is gone, I will gather together my flocks which are in the midst between here and there, the herds which God hath given me, and the 6th day from now, when Laban is far off, we shall all draw off heavy laden and go towards the river Prath and towards Gilead. Go, for I love you both almost alike. But thou, Rachel, apple of my eye, have a care for the lamb of the virgin, Jehoseph, the true son, that the journey may not be hard for him, and look that thou provide warm coverings for the cold nights. for the shoot is tender as the stock from which it sprung with so much anguish and pain. Go then, and do according to my words." Thus, and in yet more detail, was the flight appointed, on which Jacob in his old age looked back with the same mixed feelings of excitement and cunning. But he was always moved to remember, and talked about it to the day of his death, what Rachel, the little one, had done in her sweet simplicity and slyness. She did it quite alone, no one else knew, and not until afterwards did she confess it to Jacob, not to burden his conscience with her act, that he might swear with a pure heart before Laban. And what was it she did? Since they were stealing away, and all the world stood in the sign of Nabu, so stole she likewise. When Laban was gone to the shearing, and all was quiet in the house, she descended through the trap-door into the grave-chamber, where the receipts were, took Laban's little house-gods, the teraphim, one after the other, by their bearded and their feminine little heads, stuck them under her arm and in her girdle, held a pair in her hand, and slipped back unseen into the women's quarters, to cover up the images among the household goods, and take them upon the thievish journey. In truth, there was much confusion in her little head. It was precisely that which moved Jacob so when he heard of it with emotion and concern. For according to her confession, she was won over, through her love of him, to his God the highest and only one, and had abjured her childhood's gods. Yet in her secret heart she was still partly idolater. At least she thought it better to be on the safe side. At all events, she took away Laban's soothsayers and counselors, that they might not give him knowledge of the fugitive's route, and kept them as protection against pursuit, which in the local view was one of their virtues. She knew how Laban leaned upon these little men and these little Ishtar women, how highly he treasured them, yet she stole them from him for Jacob's sake. No wonder Jacob kissed her, moist-eyed, when she confessed the deed, and only reproved her quite mildly and incidentally for her muddle-headedness, and because she had made him to forswear himself with a bodily oath before Laban when the latter had overtaken them, for he had blindly staked all their lives that the gods were not under his roof. The Pursuit. The teraphim did not in this instance display their efficacy as protectors, perhaps because they did not want to turn against their lawful owners. That Yitzchak's son had fled with his wives and their maids and their 11 offspring and all their goods, and of course gone westwards, Laban learned on the third day. He had scarcely reached the place where the speckled and pied sheep were to be sheared, when he heard it from the servants and watchers, who had in fact expected a better reward than they got for their loyalty, for Laban all but beat them. The furious man hurried home, where he discovered the theft of the idols, and thence took up the pursuit, with his sons and a band of armed men. Yes, it was just like 25 years before, on Jacob's journey hither, when he had had Eliphaz at his heels. Again he saw himself pursued, more formidably even than before, because this time the pursuing forces could move far lighter than this long train of cattle, pack-animals, and ox-carts, crawling along like a worm in the dust. In the alarm he felt when the spies and listeners in his rear announced the approach of Laban, there was mixed a sort of mental gratification at the correspondence and the symmetry. 7 days, so it is stated, did Laban need to overtake his son-in-law. Jacob had the desert, the worst part of the journey, behind him. He had already reached the wooded heights of the Mount of Gilead, whence he had only to descend into the valley of the Jordan, where it flows into the Sea of Lot, or the Salt Sea, when his start was used up, and he had to face the meeting and the explanation.